It's wonderful to be able to spend a little time and speak to everyone this morning. And can we give it up for our graduates one more time? So excited for all of those that are graduating. And if you're a guest with us this morning, we don't normally have people in cap and gown just at church on a Sunday. That's not just something we always do. That's a special thing this week. But if you're a guest, I want to just welcome you to First Church this morning. I would love the opportunity to speak with you right after service if I can. And in the lobby, I would love to connect with you. But just a personal update for everyone. I'm here this weekend by myself. My wife and children are in St. Louis. I wish they could have come with me. But the reason they are there is because we are closing on our home in St. Louis tomorrow. So excited about that. And then the better news is we are getting in the car and then driving here because we're closing on our home here on Tuesday. So it's a quick turnaround, but the Lord has opened a door. So by Tuesday, we'll officially be Michiganders, if I said that correctly. So no, I'm thankful, but I do want to just give honor to my wife. As you can imagine, with three kids under six, she has been really sacrificing a lot and carrying that load for me to be able to continue to travel and be here this weekend with you all. So I'm really thankful. We are excited to be here full time, looking forward to transitioning here. And so today I want to address our graduates. And so it's a unique Sunday, but I believe that what I want to share with you today will really extend beyond just those graduating high school. So if for you maybe high school is a memory, even if it's a distant memory, the truth is I believe that the kind of things that our graduates are asking, the questions they're asking, or the things that they're facing today in their life are really things that are repeated throughout our lives in different seasons. And if I could kind of boil down probably the number one question in talking with high school graduates, even college graduates, that they are asking of the Lord and they are petitioning and trying to figure out, summed up in these three words, it would be, what's the plan? Or four words, what is the plan? God, what is the plan? And so that's the thing that sometimes we would like to ask, and that's a central question of our life. And again, I reiterate, even if you're not graduating high school, maybe you find yourself walking into a new season of life, or something has happened in your life, or maybe time and time again, you may identify with the same question where you've, you know, looked at the Lord and you said, God, what am I supposed to do now? What is the plan for my life? And so I want to speak to that today. And there's a passage of scripture that we love to look at and quote in Jeremiah 29:11. In the New Living Translation, it reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." So we love to hear that. But, you know, I want to convey something in just a few moments that I believe has really changed my life and the way that I view this idea. And at the outset, I want to break it to you, and I hate to break this to you, but I've discovered that God will most likely not give you the exact plan for your life. Hate to bust your bubble. There's a great chance you're not going to get the exact plan. He's not going to drop a spiritual Google Maps turn-by-turn navigation for your life. It doesn't work that way. In fact, if we look at the Word of God, it actually states multiple times that we're not called to know the plans of God for our life or to know exactly what to do. And we love this scripture in Jeremiah 29, but the truth is the context of that scripture is pretty interesting. If you were to read the chapter of Jeremiah in its entirety, you would realize at the very outset, it's actually a letter to those in exile. Jeremiah writes a letter from Jerusalem to the elders, priests, prophets, and all the people who had been exiled to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. So imagine if you are on the receiving end of this letter, if you get a letter from Jeremiah, the number one thing you want to know in this letter, the answer to the question is, what is the plan to get back? Right? What is the plan to get out of exile? You're hoping that in this letter contains the exact plans. And so then when you read this, if we read in verse 10, this is what the Lord says, "You'll be in Babylon for 70 years, but I will come to you and do for you all the good things I have promised. I'll bring you home again, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." So now though, if you kind of put yourself in their shoes, I think I would read that, and it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, they're good plans, plans for the future." I would say, that's great. Turn the page over, because on the next page, I'm sure it says exactly what the plans are. It doesn't. He says, "I have the plans," and I think, again, if If I were reading this letter, I would say, okay, that's great. So please expound. What are these said plans exactly? What is the precise thing that's going to happen in my life? But the truth is, this scripture shows us that maybe the exact plans are never truly known by those who are following after Jesus. Look at another scripture, Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. King James says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." You ever ask God, "God, what are you thinking? What are you thinking?" Here it says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." So we look at this, I see there's no way that we can know, comprehend, or understand the plans in the mind of God, and we're not called to. So if you're sitting here today worried and frustrated because you've been praying for God to reveal the exact plan for your life and he hasn't, it's very likely that he's not going to do so anytime soon. He will never develop the magic eight ball for you to shake and get the plan. You guys remember that? You know, I'm talking about you shake it. What is the answer to this? And it pops up the little answer, right? I don't think kids know about that. I don't think they have that these days. You shake the eight ball and what is the answer? What am I supposed to do? We would love for that to be the case. And I was thinking about this in my life. I remember in a season, and I realized that, you know what? If I actually knew the whole plan, I wouldn't need much faith. Because if I know the whole plan, what use is faith? Because I know exactly what's going to happen. Sometimes we're so afraid of our future. We're afraid that our future won't work out the way we want it to. So we want God to tell us what the future is going to hold before we do anything or take our next step. We want God to write it out for us so we don't have to worry about it. But let me remind us today that if that's the way we feel, we may not actually be trusting God with our future. If you know the plans, you don't need faith. If you know exactly what's going to happen, maybe you don't really need faith. Living a life of faith means not knowing, but still trusting. So why am I telling you this today? To get you depressed about the fact that you don't know what the exact plan is? No. In fact, I've come to tell you a more comforting and empowering reality. And again, to our graduates, I want us to have a perspective shift, but I believe for everybody today, maybe we could look at our own life and see this, because today I want you to stop concerning yourself with, stop doubting, stop second guessing, stop trying to figure out exactly what the plan is. Instead, I propose today that you need to be asking the question, God, what is my purpose? I want to submit to you today, it has to be purpose over plans. God's probably not going to give you the exact plan, but God will give you a purpose. He has given you a purpose. He has created you on purpose, for a purpose. He knows what his plans are for your life, but he's not going to just tell you exactly what to do. He's given us free will to do what we want. So it's our job to align ourselves with his purpose, with his will. As we pursue that, his plans will become our plans. He will lead us into his plans. Our desires will become more like his desires. But he's not always going to give us the exact plans. He's going to give us a purpose. And having a purpose is better than knowing the plan. Because here's what I know in Romans 8, 28. Look at this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. What a promise, just in that one verse alone. All things work together for good. It doesn't say all things are good. All things work together for good. You are called according to God's purpose. So how do we define purpose? And I want to give you, this is a formula I think found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. I love this. It's very straightforward and you've heard it, but let's just break it down for a moment. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Number one, trust in the Lord with everything. That means trust God with your finances. Trust God with your future. Trust God with your hopes, with your dreams, with your relationships, your decisions. Trust God with all thine heart. Number two, lean not unto thy own understanding. That's a tough one. Don't lean on our own understanding. Understanding only comes through applying knowledge. To gain knowledge, we need to read his word. So when I have a question in my life, am I looking to answer it in my own flesh? Or can I go to the word and say, God, how can your word guide my decisions? Again, it's probably not going to have the exact answer. Daniel Bernard, please do this. Perfect, God, thank you. But there are principles in this word that I can apply to my life. Lean not into my own understanding. The third thing, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. This is a big one. Whatever talents God has given you, find a way to give them back to him. No matter what it is, you can ask the question, God, how can I acknowledge you today? Even if you feel like your job is not quote unquote spiritual, I think sometimes we do a disservice to our walk with God to create these boxes of what is secular and what is spiritual. Because I believe that even if your job is not behind a pulpit, but what you do on Monday, there's a way to acknowledge God in what you do. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So look at that. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding, and acknowledge God in everything, and look at the end result, and he shall direct thy paths. Another version says, he will show you which path to take. What a wonderful thing. So that simple equation, I think, is one that we can apply over our life in general. But purpose over plans. Why? What happens? What happens when you prioritize purpose over plans? I want to give you three things today. The first thing I want to tell you is this. Prioritizing your purpose clarifies your plans. Another way to say it is this. Clear purpose begets clear plans. When your purpose is clear, it becomes a filter for all of your plans. You can begin to ask questions like, does this benefit my God-given purpose? Does this align with what God has called me to do? It removes all doubt and worry because your purpose can become the purifier of your plans. I want to look at Jesus when he's young. Probably seen this story in Luke chapter 2. That when Jesus was 12 years old, they attended a festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first. Has anybody ever left your kids at church? Be honest. Has anyone ever been left at church? Anybody ever been left at church? Story of my life, man. Fall asleep under the pew. Wake up, it's dark, think the rapture happened. Left at church. But look at this. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later. Anybody been left at church for 3 days? Please don't answer if you have. It'll be illegal. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple. But that's just funny to me. Can you just imagine, you know, Mary and Joseph, maybe, I don't know what their relationship was like, but, you know, my wife probably sometimes more concerned about some of those details. And I can just imagine if it was my wife and I, and she says, you know, have you seen Jesus? I mean, I would say, I mean, he's Jesus, so he's fine. Like, whatever he's doing, he'll be okay, right? Because he's Jesus, right? I think that's kind of, can you imagine parenting Jesus? Like, where is he? You know what? He's fine. I mean, what's he going to do? Fall and hurt himself? He'll be okay. Right? That's just the way my mind works. I don't know. I mean, they were still his parents, but it's just kind of hard to fathom. But 3 days, that's wild. That's a long time to leave your son. But they find him. Look, they discover him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere. But why did you need to search? He asked. Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? But they didn't understand what he meant. King James says, and he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Even Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, knew who he was, but they didn't understand how deep his purpose was. They couldn't comprehend the plan that was being unfolded before their very eyes because they didn't even truly know how deep his purpose was. But that didn't stop Jesus. Even at this young age, he knew that his purpose would dictate what he did. Now, I'm not saying students stay behind at church and let your parents go on without you. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is even in our own life, as you step into a new season of life, you're going to be surrounded by people that probably don't quite understand the depth of your purpose and you're going to face the pressure. And let me just zoom out. This is not just for high school graduates. As adults, you're going to be in rooms facing pressure from people to act a certain way. But in that moment, if you have a clear purpose, you can make the right decision even in the face of pressure from other people because you can say, you know what? I know there's some things that you want me to do or say or the way you want me to act, but I've got a purpose that runs deeper than any plan that you have for me. So no matter what happens, that purpose is going to clarify my decisions and help me make a wise choice. If I were to try to stand here today and walk through all of the things I think you should do, we would be here forever. But instead, I can say, you know what? There's a God-given purpose over your life, and that purpose can become a decision filter for you. Someone is trying to formulate a plan for your life, but you haven't connected with God and aligned yourself with his purpose. You've got it backwards. Purpose drives plans. You cannot formulate a plan. Maybe this needs to be our declaration. You cannot formulate a plan enticing enough for me to step outside of my God-given purpose. Not going to happen. Prioritizing your purpose will clarify your plans. The second thing I want to tell you today, and this one I think really applies to all of us, and it is a lesson that takes our entire life on this earth to learn. And it's this. If your purpose is unshakable, failed plans can't break you. If your purpose is unshakable, failed plans can't break you. All successful people have a past that's littered with failed plans. You've no doubt heard the famous quote from Thomas Edison concerning his invention of the light bulb and his many failings on the way to success. In response to a question about his missteps, Thomas Edison famously said, "I've not failed 10,000 times. I've successfully found 10,000 ways that won't work." I would dare say there are probably many, I don't want to say old, I'll say seasoned, many seasoned people in the room that could tell you that they've probably found thousands of ways that things won't work in their life. But how could he keep going after so many thousands of times? I don't know about you, but I think I've decided that after attempt number 5,675, I think I would say, you know what? I've had a good run. Someone else can invent the light bulb, right? But why? Why could he endure? I would say to you that he had a purpose that went deeper than any plan. And at some point, you will have a plan, if you haven't already, that will fail and that will get messed up. And there are people here in this room that I believe you may not be exactly where you need to be with God, not because you're not called, not because God doesn't want to use you, not because you don't have a God-given purpose, not because God has not changed his mind about you, not because God has different plans for you or God is doing something different. No, I think you're not where you need to be because you've allowed a broken plan to break you. And it's a danger. It's a natural tendency in our mind. Why? Because we want to know what God's will is. And so we want to know what the plan is. But I think maybe sometimes in our life, we get our heart so set on what we thought was the will of God that we've connected the concept of God's will to a specific plan. But the problem is when you try to boil down God's wisdom and his will for your life to just one specific thing, what happens when you mess up or when that thing fails? All of a sudden, your faith is rocky. You're thrown into turmoil. Why? Because you said, God, I knew this was your will. What happened? And the danger we face is that if we connect the will of God directly to a specific plan and that plan fails, then we blame God. Well, God, what did you do? I thought this was the plan. I thought this was what I was supposed to do. There are people who, maybe not right now, but in times of your life, your faith has wavered. Maybe you're faltering. You're not sure if this is for you. You feel like maybe God's not there because you don't feel him or you don't understand what's going on and this is not the way things were supposed to go. There may be even people in here that a different season of your life, maybe even in a church context, you've been hurt by people. Plans that you thought you were doing everything God wanted you to do and yet the plan failed or things fell apart and you're asking yourself, God, I thought this was the plan. What's going on? But I want to submit to you today that you have to be able to say, God, even when my plans fail, even when things don't go the way I thought, I have to connect my life to you in a way that I can say, God, your purpose for my life will run deeper than any single plan. That even when things do mess up, God, I still have a purpose. So I want to declare to somebody today that maybe you are living in the broken plans that maybe you messed up or things that you did that didn't work out or things didn't work out the way that you wanted them to. I want to tell you that God still has a purpose on your life and you can outlive that broken plan. You can outlive the mistakes that you've made. Why? Because God has a purpose for you that runs deeper than any single plan will ever run. Because if your purpose is unshakable, failed plans can't break you. Sometimes the wrong plan exacts a heavy toll. King David, he changed his plans. He was supposed to go to war, but he didn't. He stayed home, and that decision to stay home and change the plan ended up falling with Bathsheba. And even though he knew his plan was a bad one, even though he knew what he did was wrong, he was so sold out to his plan that all of a sudden there are all these other plans that he has to start making as the consequences of his poor decisions. Consequences that led him to having this woman's husband killed to cover up what he did. Consequences that ultimately led to the death of the child conceived in their mistake. Just like David, if we're not careful, we can become a slave to a bad plan, feeling trapped in our course of action as it spirals out of control. Maybe that's someone today, you're saying, I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to change what I've done. I don't know how to get over what's happened in my life. David was so overcome, so overwhelmed. He knew it was wrong to take Bathsheba. He knew it was wrong. He knew that all these things were wrong. But for that moment, he sold his purpose out to a bad plan. And in that moment, and if you're there, I look and I reflect on David. David could have lost everything if he would have let a bad plan break his eternal purpose. But when the time came and the word of God came to David through the man of God, and he said, he relates this story, and he said, David, you are the man. You are the man that has done evil. When David is called out in scripture, he didn't try to defend or cover up his plan. Instead, he fell on his face. He said, I have sinned, because he listened to the word of God in his life. His purpose remained stronger than his bad plans. So I want to tell you today, maybe even your bad plans, you feel like you are living in the consequences of decisions that you have made. Today, you have an opportunity to say, oh God, I want to reset some things in my life. God, I want to realign myself with your purpose. And I truly believe, yes, there may be some earthly consequences, but today you can make the decision that, God, I'm submitting my plans to you. God, you may want to change some things. You want to help me understand some things, but God, I want to dedicate myself to your purpose. Because God's purpose for you can run deeper than any plan, even a failed or a bad plan. I want to look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. We see the story of when Jesus is calling his first disciples. Matthew 4, 18 in the King James. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. He saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. It goes on in verse 21. He goes on. He sees two more brothers, James and John, his brother. They're in a ship with their father mending nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now this passage shows the moment that Jesus called several of his disciples. What always amazes me about this is what's not there. Just put yourself in that position. Now again, they were fishers, but that's sometimes we, in our culture, in our society, we can change careers and jobs and do different things. But in this time, this was a much more about who they were as people. It's a much closely connected to their identity. If your father was a fisher, you're a fisher. That's a more common understanding that they weren't just fishers as that's their 9-to-5. This is who they were. Their entire life was wrapped around this identity. So imagine if you're them. Jesus says, hey, stop what you're doing. Abandon all of that and come follow me. I think we would say, can I see the compensation package? Can I see the travel schedule? Right? What does the PTO look like? Or an instance, basically, what's the plan? Yeah, that's great. You know, make us fishers of men. I see what you did there. Great. But I want to know, what is the plan? What does this mean? And this is amazing to me. Maybe that's just me, but I think that's my immediate reaction is to say, where's the, you know, here's my resume and show me what we're going to do and show me the path forward and where we're going to stay and all this kind of stuff. No, we don't see any of that. They were able to confidently follow Jesus, not because they believed in exactly what the plan was, because he didn't give them one, but because he gave them something better. He didn't give them a temporary plan. He gave them a lifetime of purpose. And that's what God wants to do for you. And that leads me into my third and final point. And again, this is one that I think even those, if you're graduating high school today, I think this is one that you probably need to put in your back pocket. It'll serve you later in life. But maybe for us today that are beyond that season, let me tell you this. The third point I want to bring to you is this. Plans will give your life meaning for a season, but purpose will give your life meaning through all seasons. Amen. I want to take you to a little bit different season of my life. Many moons ago, growing up, After I graduated high school, I started a business. I was going to be an entrepreneur, and I started a business with a friend of mine, and we were subcontracting for AT&T installing fiber optic cable. And so we had these jobs. We bid on a job, and we would install fiber. And, you know, kind of, I guess it sounds kind of glamorous when I say it that way, but let me just paint a little bit better picture. Really what it means is we would be on the side of the road opening up manholes and pushing fiber in through a truck. And, you know, if you open the manhole and a bunch of roaches crawled out, that was a good thing because it showed that maybe there's not poisonous gases. It's somewhat inhabitable. And so we would, you'd have to ventilate the manhole because, again, there's all kinds of gases and fumes that leak into those boxes. And sometimes they're just a single box, or if it's a double, you've got more room. So you have to ventilate it depending on the specifications for a certain amount of time so that the air is okay. And we would go down and whoever would kill the largest snake or animal for the day, you would tie it to the truck, and then you didn't have to buy dinner that night. And everyone else had to pay for your dinner. It's maybe in the not so glamorous part. I remember one time there was a manhole that we had the plans for. So we put the ventilation with a generator in there and ventilated it for the proper amount of time. But when we got in there, I didn't realize it at the time, but it was actually twice the size that was on the plans. And so I took a couple steps in and didn't smell anything, didn't notice anything. But I passed out after just a few moments. I remember waking up. I was in kind of, we had ankle deep or kind of like sludge, like brown sludge. You're hoping it's just mud. You know, you're like, I don't know what this is. But I remember waking up, looking up the ladder, my friend coming down to get me. And so that was my life. That was the reality of my life. A little bit different than, the plan then was a little bit different than the plan now. Right? Just a little bit. And I could probably go on this room, I could bring people up here, and you could probably share stories of things in your life, of plans and things happening. And yes, during that season of my life, that the plan that I had, it did give me a type of purpose of, you know, this is what I want to do. But here's the reality of plans. There's only two outcomes, success or failure. But here's the problem. Sometimes they bring you to the exact same place. What I mean by that is this. If you can identify in your mind, you've had a plan that you were working on. This was your goal. You've worked so hard for it, and it failed. You're at the place where you say, okay, God, what am I supposed to do now? What now? This failed. This is what I was investing everything into. But now let's go on the flip side. Let's say you've got a plan. You executed it well. It's been accomplished, and now you're standing on the other side of it. You know what sometimes you ask? Okay, God, what now? Right? Because the problem is sometimes if we sell out for a plan so heavily, out more than purpose, then we go, we finish one thing, and then it's, okay, well, on to the next thing. This thing is now going to give me fulfillment. We run to the next thing. We try to work on that plan and finish that thing. Okay, that was great. But you know what? Really, the next thing is going to be the thing that fulfills me. And the thing that you need to understand, and maybe right now, maybe you're in this place, and you're standing on the precipice of a new season of life. And you find yourself asking the same question that you asked when you're graduating high school of, okay, God, that season is over. I'm entering a new one. So what do I do now? And I recognize that may be a place that we all face multiple times throughout our life. And so what I want us to look at when I look at this simple passage of the disciples of Jesus is that he didn't say, hey, guys, for the next several years, we're going to do this, and then you're going to do this, and then you're going to do this. He didn't spell it out. He said, I will make you fishers of men. He changed their identity. He changed their purpose. And yeah, they still at some point they had to do some things to eat, and they had a vocation and all those kind of things. I'm not saying everyone's going to go into full-time ministry, but what I see is this. There's so many times throughout Scripture that we see that people, their meaning and their purpose in life is not derived from just a single job, but yet through different seasons and different capacities in their life, time and time again, seasons will come and go, but the purpose of their life in Jesus Christ is going to live through all of those things. So I want to declare to you today that plans may give your life meaning for a season, but God's purpose will give your life meaning through every season in which you live. So don't pursue plans, pursue purpose. I'm not saying it's bad to have plans or that you should forsake them. What I'm saying is that you should pursue God's purpose in your life. No matter what happens, you can be content, fulfilled in the will of God. You know the scripture that everyone loves to use outside of even a church context? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We love to use that as in, I can literally do anything. You know what that scripture is really about? Being content. It's about being content, because if you read that passage, he says, I've been rich, I've been poor. I've been up, I've been down. All these different things. You know where he's writing that from? Does anybody know where that was written from? Prison. So what's amazing about that to me is that he's writing and he's basically saying, you know what? Even now, I have purpose. My physical, and someone today, maybe you deal with a chronic sickness. Maybe you're listening today or you're here. Maybe you're not even here because you can't be here because of things you're going through. And I know that in some instances, you may feel like, well, how can I have a purpose? But I just want to tell you, if I look at this, I see that even from a jail cell, some of the most impactful things in Scripture were written from a place of bondage. That even in a difficult season, God may be doing his deepest work in your life. But if you're just saying, if you think that God can only use you and only good plans can come from great seasons, you're mistaken. Some of your darkest valleys, some of the best laid plans of God, you'll arrive upon and discover in those seasons of your life that you thought could hold no benefit for you. So someone needs to understand today that you need to look at your life and say, oh God, I may have been looking to this season for fulfillment in my life. And yes, you can be fulfilled in different seasons. And yes, plans are good. But what I'm saying is if you're so committed to just a single plan, if that's your identity, if that's your life, if that's your purpose, at some point that season's going to come to an end. And what will happen to your faith? So today is a challenging message, not only for our graduates, but for all of us here today. Because you may be standing in a new season of your life asking the same question you've asked time and time again of God, what am I supposed to do now? And I want to tell you that God may not give you the exact answer, but he will confirm his purpose in your life, out of which wise plans can come. Will you stand with me today? A plan without a purpose dies when it gets derailed. Think about it. A plan without an underlying purpose will die when it gets derailed. And sometimes we ask God to bless the plans we've already laid out. And that's kind of unwise as well. When you ask God to sometimes bless our plans, we're really asking God to bless our mess. You ever been there? And you really realize, you know what? Maybe I should have consulted before I went down this path. Someone today, you need to understand, I want to give you these 3 points again. Today, maybe what you need to do is you need to prioritize purpose. Maybe what you're saying is, you know what? I don't know which decision to make. There's all these decisions. But again, we look at that passage I read, the kind of the formula. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Where's the breakdown for you? Think about it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Is there some areas of your life that you're not giving to God, that you're holding back, that you need to turn over to him? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Maybe you're trying to figure it all out by yourself. And maybe you need to come to this altar and submit it to God. Say, Lord, I've been trying to find the answers. I've been pursuing the wrong things. I've been trying to figure out the answers by myself, and I can't do that. Lean not on your understanding. Number 3, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Maybe you need to make a decision. If you know what, I'm tired of being a Sunday-only Christian. I want to be myself everywhere I am. I want to live for you in every moment. And if you do those things, I truly believe, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, in all your ways, acknowledge him. What's the end result? He will direct your path. He will show you the path to take. So if you don't feel like you know which path to take, I ask you to examine those things. Am I trusting you? Am I leaning on you? Am I acknowledging you? Those 3 things. Are you trusting in him? Are you leaning on him? And are you acknowledging him? Because if one of those things is not there, then maybe you're not doing the things to put yourself in a position to make wise choices. But if we are doing those things, when you prioritize God's purpose, and you can look at Scripture, Jesus, in 2 overarching things, he said, be witnesses unto me and make disciples. So two things that we are all called to do, be a witness and make disciples. So if you don't know anything deeper than that, be a witness, make disciples, acknowledge God in all you do. Out of some of these foundational decisions, wise plans will flow. Wise plans will be developed. Someone today, maybe you're feeling shaky. God, I feel like things are crumbling. I feel like things have been broken. I feel like things are getting messed up. Maybe for you, you've too closely connected God's will for your life to this specific plan that you have. And to you, I say, I'm sorry. Maybe that plan has failed, but you need to understand there are people in here that they're only still here because at some point they've said, Lord, I take my hands off of it. The plans, I give it to you. I'm telling you, my family's living this right now. We're living this of God, I trust you with the plans. You know, when Pastor Hoffman called me, and if you knew him well, this does not surprise you. Do you know how long our first conversation was about coming to Sterling Heights? I think it was 30 seconds, 45 seconds. It was, hello, this is Harold Hoffman. I would like for you to begin to pray today and every day about you coming to be the pastor here at Sterling Heights. Thank you. That was it. Now we were able to have, I'm so thankful we were able to have some great conversations. But you know, in that moment, there was a divine shift in my spirit. Not because I had all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted, but I've learned a long time ago, that's not the way God works. So I said, Lord, if this is your will, I'm going to kind of release the way the plan looks. I'm going to follow the purpose and you'll make it work. So there's been conversations where, you know, people ask, well, what are you going to do about this? And how is this going to happen? I'm like, it's a great question. I have no idea. What I do know is that I'm in the Lord's will. And then when the time comes, he'll answer the question and we'll walk forward. So I share with that to you today because you may be saying, well, I don't think I can do it and I don't know what to do next, right? You know, this is new to me, right? If you're a guest here, you know what I want to say to you? Start where you are. Sometimes we're like, okay, well, I got to get this together. I need to do this first. I need to make sure. Start where you are. Step forward. God will fill in the blanks. There's so many things you'll never know. If you wait until that moment of, well, God, I'll start trusting you again. I'll start following after I figure this out. You're never going to take that step. So, yes, I want to pray for our graduates and this service is really directly for them. But also, I believe that this really applies to much more than just our graduates today. And so I want to open our altars in just a moment. But if you would, right where you are, would you just close your eyes? I want to pray over you before I invite you to come down and pray. Because I believe God is trying to speak to someone, even in a very practical message like this one. I believe there's a deep undercurrent of the Spirit that wants to speak to you in a mighty way. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you today for your word. Lord, right now I pray for someone, God, that they, right now, there's plans that they worked on, put effort into that did not work out, God, and they're asking, Lord, what am I supposed to do now? To them, Lord, I pray that they would understand that you have a purpose for them, that they can be clarified, God, by giving their life to you, by acknowledging you, by leaning on you, by trusting in you, God, and you will show them the path to take. And God, someone else, Lord, I pray they would understand that if their purpose in you is unshakable, God, then even failed plans will not break them, God, will not deter them, because even in brokenness, you are there. Even in my mistakes, you are there. No matter how far I go, your word says you are there. Even if I make my bed in hell, God, you are there with us, God. And then finally, I hope that someone can understand, God, maybe they are stepping into a new season of life. Maybe they're stepping into a new circumstance or new situation. And God, for them, I declare, Lord, that if they can understand, God, that your purpose in life will give them a meaning through all seasons, God, not just a plan, Lord. So we submit our plans to you today, God. We submit them to you, Lord. And I pray that they have plans. I pray that they pursue plans. But at the end of the day, God, we give it to you, Lord. We put our faith and our trust in you in Jesus' name. Amen. If God has been speaking to you today, I want to invite everyone just to come down to this front and pray for a moment. That God would help you to submit your plans to him and say, God, I want to align with your purpose. I want to give you my plans. God, I want to submit them to you today. Would you come and pray? Would you spend a little time and say, God, I want to acknowledge you in all my ways. God, I want to lean on you. God, I want to put my trust in you. Yes, that's it. We can't hold anything back from God. We got to give him our all. We have to give him our lives. Yes, that's it. Can you pray that prayer of surrender? God, I love you today. God, I surrender my plans to you today, God. Even if your plans have been broken, God sees exactly where you are. Yes, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray you would give somebody strength and wisdom, God, as they step into a new season of life, as they step into a new context, or as they try to pick up the broken pieces of something, God. I pray they can see you at work, even in the midst of our darkest days, God. Your purpose is at work. In Jesus' name, Lord, we give you our plans. We surrender our hearts to you, oh God. We want you to move in our midst, God. In Jesus' name, give us an unshakable purpose.